Welcome to the Darling Download on SEN Track.
Very good morning, and it's all thanks to Aquas, Queensland's largest stallion facility, home to Pierrata, Invader, Brave Smash, Dubious, and more. Visit aquasfarm.com. Shane Shirley, good morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Really well. It's Cox Plate Day is always my favourite day's racing, so I'm really looking forward to enjoying the spectacle of that will be, and then settling into what looks to be a pretty luscious, fat betting card at Toowoomba tonight. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I know you're excited about that. We'll get to that a little bit later. You were very bullish yesterday on the punters, mate. So you're going to have some tips with confidence tonight, I know. But it's been a huge week. I don't know where we should start when we talk about the week when it comes to Toowoomba racing. Let's start with the highlight in my mind, and that being the win of Incentivise in the Caulfield Cup. I was sitting there watching the race, and all I could say, I don't know what you were like, all I could say, Shane, was wow, what a performance. I mean, it put away that field like I haven't seen in a long time, in a Caulfield Cup in particular.
Yeah, it was more than dominant, wasn't it? It was. I had goosebumps actually. When he let go, it was just sort of like it's one of those wins that just, you know, obviously there's a lot of hype around it. We're pretty parochial up here in Queensland, and we were supporting the horse anyway, coming from Toowoomba and all that sort of thing, but. Just the way Brett Prebble rode it, like it was the best horse in the race. He wasn't going to be dictated to. He went forward. He was happy to get out wide early and give him clear air. And he did prove himself as a dominant stay that we thought he might have been. No excuses in behind him. He was he did it all himself, didn't he? Put himself in the race early and then, you know, took off early to keep out of trouble. It was dominant. I just can't see anything that finished behind him turning the tables in a Melbourne Cup. And
well, they were talking Delphi up before the race too.
I think he'll get better as he gets further.
Yeah, they were talking Delphi up before the race, and Delphi just couldn't go with Incentivise. And I reckon out of the two, Delphi had the better run also.
Yeah, look, I thought Incentivise had the toughest run in the race.
Absolutely.
He just put him away. It was so strong. It was it was unbelievable.
3,200 should be no problem, should it, either?
I don't think so. We saw him sort of go to a new level in Queensland when he got up to that 2,400, 2,500-metre distance. So held no real fears, getting to 2,400. And it's proved it again. Like, he even had the audacity in that race. You know, sat wide the whole way up on speed. And then he still ran the fastest 200-metre split from the 400 to the 200. So that's when all the back markers are getting up and going and really flatten out. And they should have been making some ground on him. But he still ran the quickest 200-metre section of the entire race. And that just goes to show the strength of him as a stayer. And I can just see him doing the same thing in the Melbourne Cup. It's very exciting.
And I would think Flemington would suit. Chatted when we were talking about it yesterday on the punter's mate, and look, you're more of an expert than I am. That long straight at Melbourne, I said to Chris Nelson, you know, there's an old saying, isn't there, mate, that the Melbourne Cup is not won at Chiquita Lodge. Well, it may be this year. he could burn him a long way out.
Well, he could. And now that's the thing about, I think it's a great point that you raise, because if you have a look at races like the Cox Plate and the Caulfield Cup, for example, those sort of tighter turning tracks, not necessarily tighter turning, but, you know, something like Moonee Valley, they've got to take off at the 600. They've got to take off down that side at the school and put themselves into the race. But that doesn't happen at Flemington. So I don't think he's going to get that burn, you know, from the 800 early to try and gas him, you know, at a track like Flemington, because they're all just trying to work into the race and then sort of flatten out as they straighten for the long run home. So I think the track will suit him for sure. Look, there was a few murmurs when he drew a wide gate in the Caulfield Cup. It doesn't matter. All it did was just give him time to work across. Yeah. We know that I don't think it matters what barrier he draws in the Melbourne Cup either. He's got the tactical speed to put himself right there. Long run to the first corner from the 3,200-metre start. If he gets to that race healthy and happy and sound, it's going to take a very good one to beat him, and it's not going to be something that finished behind him in the Caulfield Cup, that's for sure.
You wouldn't have thought so. So that was the positive from the week from a Toowoomba perspective. But drama there last Saturday night. I know you weren't at the races, you're telling me, on Saturday night, but We'll speak with the chairman, Kent Woodford, after the break, but not an ideal night at the races with problems with the lights again.
No, look, there's no winners there, is there? You can see both sides of the argument for sure. Jockey welfare, and then obviously you've got, you know, owners and trainers and jockeys, owners and trainers and you know, people that travel to sort of watch their horse race. There's just no winners. It's just an unfortunate situation. But, you know, thankfully that there was a bit of foresight with Racing Queensland and that they were able to work together with the club to run those remaining races on Tuesday afternoon. So it wasn't ideal, obviously, but at least the prize money was still there and available for participants on the Tuesday, which was good stuff.
Yeah, no, I know it was over 2 days, but did you have anything you wanted to follow from last week at all?
Well, I'll tell you what we spoke with Josh Oliver a few weeks back. We spoke about his comeback, and he rode a winner on Tuesday. Look, I'm not sure whether jockeys to follow is a good idea or not. But,
Angela Jones is.
Oh, she's worked for us, hasn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
She rode a few winners on Tuesday too, and gee, she showed so much poise for a young jockey at judging the early tempo, putting the horse in the right spot. She's very good at that. But, you know, Josh rode a winner. He's a very good jockey. That was his 100th winner at Clifford Park since he's moved to Toowoomba from New Zealand. So Josh will now, I think now he's, you know, broken the duck there on his comeback, that he'll get some good rides, and you'll see him riding a lot of horses sort of around that 58, well, between, you know, 57.5 to 59 kilo range, and ride plenty of winners in the upcoming weeks, I'm sure. And he's got a couple of good chances tonight again. So as far as horses are concerned, look, it was pretty much sort of Moto Miss was one that we sort of identified dropping back in class and winning. And you know, I think that she can win again in the same class around that 1,100 metre distance range. I thought she was a pretty good winner. Yep.
Good on you, mate. We better take a break. Kent Woodford will join us shortly. Maddie Wishart, we'll hear from her later in the program and get your tips all on the Darling Download. Thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility, home to Pierrata, Invader, Brave Smash, Dubious and more. Visit aquasfarm.com. A break and back with more.
You're listening to the Darling Download on SEN Track.
Well, it's time, Shane, for our weekly chat with the chairman of the Toowoomba Turf Club, and it's been, I would imagine, a hectic week after the dramas of last Saturday. Kent Woodford, good morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark. Shane, how are you going?
We're very well. How are you going? How's the week been? Because it was a bit of a tough night last Saturday night.
Yes, look, it was. It was a tough night. Obviously, it's been well documented. You know, we were under the belief the lights come back on. It was certainly safe to race. We felt with the few, you know, shortening up of the races, and if we'd got immediate start, we were very confident it would have been a late finish, but obviously, you know, the jockeys had other views, and the meeting ended up being abandoned, which was a shame and disappointing.
Yeah, I can see both sides, and it once again raises the question of the long days that people have in the racing industry. And at times we do sort of tend to forget how hard it is for those involved, not only the jockeys, the strappers, the trainers, and your staff there at Clifford Park to race every week?
Oh, look, for certainly, yeah, it is. It's obviously, you know, it can be a long day for people that start early in the morning at track work in jockeys and trainers and that sort of stuff. And obviously, you know, our staff work from early in the morning to get it set up to finishing late at night. Look, it's always a little bit of a, I guess, a juggling act and something that, I guess, is always, you know, going to be looked at. And probably more so moving forward. Yeah, no, look, it's probably a little bit of a, you know, a concern for the industry overall. So, yeah, there might have to be some, you know, provisions put in place moving forward at some stage.
Well, the good news was that you could have the five races on Tuesday. So the meeting did get finished and those horses, those trainers, those owners, those jockeys were able to participate. And also the prize money was there. So at the end of the day, we didn't lose the five races. It just moved to a Tuesday. So that's good for those involved as well.
Oh, look, certainly, yeah, yep, yeah, obviously, yeah, no, it was good to see, obviously, you know, you like to see the prize money distributed, people set their horses for races and, you know, and draw gates and that sort of stuff and you know, sort of if you think it's going to be their night, so, yeah, no, it was good to see that the fields held up well for the Tuesday meeting and, you know, that certainly some prize money was able to be returned to the industry and that, again, it's what it's all about. It's not so much even the club Saturday night, you know, there's a lot of owners and trainers you know, travel a long way. They're in anticipation of their horse running, and I guess, you know, they once the lights come back on, they probably struggle to understand why they weren't run. So, yeah. But like you say, there's always two sides to every story.
Yep. Now, one of the good things for Queensland racing, particularly Toowoomba racing, I used a three-letter word to describe Incentivise on Saturday in the Caulfield Cup. All I could say was, wow. That was some win, wasn't it?
Oh, exactly right. Yeah, no, I called in somewhere to watch it with a few people. You know, before we went to the races, we were a little bit late getting there, so we called in somewhere, and it certainly the establishment we're at, it certainly lifted. We're all, you know, cheering so much to see Incentivise get home. He certainly grabbed everyone's attentions. And again, like I said last week, as being involved in the club, it's just so great to see that, you know, we've got a horse like that, you know, that's going to the big race in a couple of weeks, the Melbourne Cup. You know, to come from a maiden, that sort of stuff, I don't think that's sort of ever been done. You know, win, lose, or draw. But we're certainly looking for a great day on Melbourne Cup Day to be cheering Incentivise on. And again, congratulations to Steve and Aaron Tregay there for the tremendous job they've done with this horse early, and obviously been continued the great work Peter Moody's continuing with it. And it's very exciting for Toowoomba at the Darling Downs, you know, everywhere. So I think it'll be the most watched Melbourne Cup in Toowoomba's history.
Yeah, I think you're right. And what do you reckon it'll do for racing in Toowoomba? If, I mean, it's already won a Caulfield Cup, Incentivise. That's big enough as it is. But what if Incentivise does what very few horses have been able to do over the long and valued history of the Melbourne Cup, if Incentivise becomes a Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup champion?
Oh, exactly right. I think it really does, you know, go back to show that everyone's dream can start wherever it starts, and you can start in Toowoomba with a, you know, with a horse that in the early days, you know, no one would have, you know, 12 months ago probably no one would have passed Chief Tregay, and a few close followers would have ever heard of Incentivise. So for the horse to rise like that, I guess it gives it hope. It's not obviously the mother's fairly well bred, but the actual horse itself is, you know, I guess with everyone's sort of budget to have a horse like that, and Steve to train it himself to such great success and be patient with it. You know, I think it shows that, you know, horses can come from places like Toowoomba and go to the big stage. You know, I think sometimes as, you know, a lot of owners and trainers, you know, we're all very conservative and have that sort of belief that sometimes, you know, the horses from here aren't good enough for going down there. You know, there's always that little bit of a lack of belief that can happen. But I think certainly if you've got the right horse, it can start the dream in Sydney, in Toowoomba, and obviously continue on to Sydney or Melbourne, you know, to be it what it might be. So, but yeah, no, I just think it's an amazing effort, and I guess it gives Toowoomba a great boost. You know, bred here locally, you know, we've got a great breeding industry here, and again, it's a flagship for that great industry.
Well, Flash R.
I think one thing
Shane. Yeah.
Sorry, Mark. One thing that will happen if Incentivise does win the Melbourne Cup is that they'll probably have to put a halt on getting that bronze statue of Kent Woodford made for Clifford Park and probably get one of Incentivise.
That's a fair call, Kent.
Yeah. I think the bronze statue at Lou, they only want to throw something at it, Shane. You know, Incentivise would probably be there.
It's somewhere for the pigeons to perch.
Sure, I'm not sure mine would be mine. I think mine would be made out of, mine would be more likely to be on the dartboard at Clifford Park, I think, rather than say.
Well, Flash
out. You know, I think all the partners clubs should sort of probably get together and get a, you know, it'd be a good sponsorship opportunity there to have a statue of Incentivise, but we'll have to talk to you about that.
Well, mate, as I was saying, Flash R's down there as well. We're going to hear from Matty Wishart in the next part of the program, and there's another Toowoomba horse that's doing wonderful things, and who knows what the next few weeks holds for Flash R as well. Fingers crossed there.
Oh, exactly right. Now another horse trained by Matty Cropp. Again, another horse that's you know, going down there chasing the bigger races. It's had a couple of warm-up races here, so now again, it'd be it's great to see the horses that can you know, fly the ship for Toowoomba. So yep, no, certainly wish Matty Cropp, Flash R, and Matty Wishart all the best on their endeavours down there.
Now, Kent, Shane, we haven't got his tips. We'll get them later in the show. But yesterday on the Punter's Mate, I can't remember the exact words that he used, but let's just say he will be disappointed if he doesn't tip at least five tonight at Clifford Park. All right. I only know two of them at the moment, but I've never heard him more bullish. Have you got a couple of tips tonight?
Was he sort of sober when he made that statement?
Well, he was, you know, yeah.
Oh, he was, fair enough. I just sort of thought he's not influenced in any way.
Have you got something for us?
Yeah, fair question.
Yeah, I thought it might have been. Race one, I like Norse Mythology.
Right, so...
Yep, race one, number 9, I think it is. Yep, number...
8.
Eight. Race two, I like number 1, Dulcin Land.
Right.
And race 3, I like number 2, Cappuccino.
Well, there you go. Because one of the things... Yeah, one of the things that Shane, I know, I've only got 2 of his tips. He's very keen on race 3, number 4, Dragon Pins.
Oh, well, we both can't be right, I guess, can we?
No, you can't. Unless there's a dead eat. That's about the only way.
Shane will come second again, but that's all right.
I think he's used to that.
Yeah.
Also.
Well, Kent, great to chat with you, mate.
He must have saved it up. He's very quiet. I thought that was more common out of him.
Exactly, yeah.
I think he's more of a rise out of that.
I think there's almost a sense of arrogance about his tips for tonight.
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, he just sort of total disdain for me tips there, wasn't it?
Yeah, not
no
even.
No comment
pretty
at
much,
all, really.
Yep. Oh, you're right there, Kent. Pretty much. Anyway, thanks for joining us, Kent. See you later, mate.
Good night tonight. We'll chat with you again next week. We'll catch up with you and get your tips for next week and maybe some bragging rights from tonight.
No worries at all. Enjoy the races today.
Good on you, mate. Kent Wood for the chairman of the Toowoomba Turf Club. So there's his 3 tips. Shane, I know you disagree with one. We'll get your others a little bit later. But Cappuccino? No?
Not for me. No.
I know you like Dragon Pins.
Nothing wrong with how the horse is going, but probably in a bit easier grade than this. But
righto, mate. We better take a
we'll
break.
We'll save that for the last.
We're going to take a break. Other side of the break, we're going to come back and hear from Matty Wishart. Chris Nelson and I caught up with Matty on the Punter's Mate yesterday to find out about Flash R arriving in Melbourne and what races are on the agenda and what Matty is doing down there in Melbourne and how she's coping. She's arrived at a good time, but we'll take a break here on the Darling Down Low. Other side of the break, we'll come back and chat about Flash R and hear from Matty Wishart, the jockey. This is the Darling Down Low on a Saturday morning.
You're listening to the Darling Download on SEN Track.
And it's all thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility. Now, Shane, in the lead up to McHappy Day, Saturday, November 13, grab a pair of silly socks from Macca's for just $5. All profits go towards helping seriously ill kids and their families at Ronald McDonald House Charities. And they're available at participating restaurants, Shane, while socks last. So there you go. Did you like that? While socks last.
I love that. Yeah. Very well done.
Now, I actually, my first job was working at Macca's at Brookvale in Sydney and thoroughly enjoyed the couple of years I had there finishing at school and before I got a full-time proper job, but it was really great. And I remember doing a McHappy Day many years ago, where I went around country New South Wales when I was working at a radio station in Sydney and ended up at Bathurst, Orange and Lithgow. I did those 3 Maccas and it was great. It was, I loved McHappy Day, but now you can get your socks for just $5. So that's McHappy Day is Sunday, November 13. The silly socks are there at Maccas for just $5 and all profits going towards helping seriously ill kids and their families at Ronald McDonald House. So while socks last. So there you go. McHappy Day, November 13. Now, we spoke at the top of the program, mate, about incentivising its performance in the Caulfield Cup, outstanding, and the way Toowoomba Racing really is at the forefront at the moment with incentivise. But Flash R is headed down to Melbourne as well.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting sort of journey that this horse has been on, hasn't it? It's I think Matt Croppy's the 6th trainer to take charge of Flash R, and he started his career up in North Queensland, winning on debut in Townsville and then getting beaten at Townsville in an open 3-year-old, and now finds itself at Flemington aiming up at a Melbourne Spring Carnival assault. So hopefully all goes well down there. It's a big step, but look, the horse has shown plenty of ability up here. It's somewhat, I would say, unconventional preparation, you might say. It's you know, remember it's winning it at Sunshine Coast over 1,000 metres when it was still last at the 200 metre mark, and then, you know, progressed all the way to running third, beaten half a length in an Ipswich Cup. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he measures up down there.
Yeah, and Matty Wishart is headed down to Melbourne to look after the horse. Of course, and now that Freedom Day has arrived in Melbourne, what was it, yesterday, I think, or midnight Thursday night, you lose track of time. So Matty is down there looking after the horse. Chris Nelson and I were able to catch up with Matty. She's a very busy lady having arrived there to look after Flash R and may actually be able to ride in her not only first Group 1, but her first group race as well. So I'll just play the chat we had here with Matty Wishart yesterday on the Punter's Mate about what she's doing in Melbourne, how she's looking after Flash R, and what the next couple of weeks entail. Here's Matty Wishart with myself and Chris Nelson from the Punter's Mate.
How are you, Matty?
Good. How are you guys?
Very well, thanks. Now, you got to Melbourne at a good time. They've reopened today. When did you get down there?
I flew in last night.
Oh, perfect. You must have planned it that way. You must have had some inside knowledge. Now, when did the horse arrive in Melbourne?
Monday.
Monday. And how's he going?
Yeah, he was off his feed the first couple of days. That was expected. But he settled in nicely. He had his first bit of work this morning and seemed to enjoy it. So, very happy.
Where is he stabled? Who with?
Flemington, just in the visitors, so near Zara and Bjorn.
Yep,
and
yep.
Gaze around the corner. So,
okay, and you're in complete control. You are in charge of him the whole time. Is that right? Lock, stock and barrel?
I'm staying down here with one of the owners, so both of us are looking after him.
Okay, and what are the aims for? I'm a big fan of the horse. He's just so versatile. Yep. I mean, to win that race, I remember clearly at the Sunshine Coast a while back, coming from last over 1,000 metres. That was amazing.
Yep.
And then running third in the Ipswich Cup, he just is a really versatile horse. So I note in an article that one of the aims is the Group 1 Cantala. I mean, that's a pretty lofty aim.
That's the first one, the Cantala. If he doesn't make the field in that one, he'll be going around in the surfy listed race, Melbourne Cup Day.
Okay, and you've got some other possible races as well going forward after that?
He does. There's a couple of other ones. There's the Ballarat Cup.
Yep.
And I'm just getting it up now.
Is it the Zipping Classic?
And the Zipping Classic.
Okay, now are you going to ride the horse in all races?
Yeah, I will.
So there's the possibility there that you'll be riding in the Group 1. Will that be your first ride in a Group 1?
Yeah, it'll be my first ride in a group race. So.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. How exciting is that?
Yeah, very exciting. Definitely an opportunity. I didn't expect to come so early in my career, but, really appreciative.
So, Matty, you've just arrived last night, as you said. What's the week look like? What are the plans and how do you look after Flash R and what are you doing with the horse?
So this morning we got there and checked over his feed, checked over him and put him on the walker. And then he done a couple of slow laps, went back on the walker. Done his box, so I haven't picked up a rake in a while. but my skills haven't been gone. I'm still very good at it. and then we'll go back in this afternoon, give him a pick, a walk and just a standard job you do with the horse. So
Did he recognise you?
I think so, but I haven't really had much to do with the horse outside of racing. So I've said to a few people, he's quite a quirky horse, so it'd be good to build up that bond with him. And I think it'll make a massive difference come race day.
Are you going to look for other rides during the trip down there? Are you just sort of sticking with him, or if other opportunities become available, you're happy to ride?
Yeah, I'll pop my head into a couple of other stables, and if the opportunity arises, I'll take it. But I'm not in a massive rush to try ride a heap of other horses. I think the main aim is Flash R, so we'll stick with that. But yeah, if the opportunity arises, I won't be knocking it back.
No. And how long are you planning to be down there for, Matty? Is it how long's a piece of string? How long the horse keeps performing or what?
Well, if everything goes to plan, 29th, I'll be coming back to Queensland.
29th of November?
29th of November.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll have to do your quarantine. Is that a quarantine at home? Is that by then that should be one?
Yeah, well, I'm not exactly sure. When I left, it was quarantine for 2 weeks when I get back, I think in a government, like one of the government-chosen ones. But you don't know with COVID, do you?
So no, no, no.
We should be all right. So I don't know. We'll just play it by ear.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And hopefully if Flasher can salute a couple of times and really make the trip worthwhile, it doesn't really matter where you stay, does it? To get a ride, eh, in a group race or even better in a group one race would be outstanding. We will be following with interest, Maddie. We wish you all the best of luck and enjoy Melbourne.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Maddie. Wishart. So there you go, Shane. The chance for Maddie to ride in a group race for the first time, potentially a group one, the Zipping Classics on the board and a few others. The horse, as she said then, just took a couple of days to settle in, but going along nicely now. And this is what happens to these young jockeys, the fact that they now she's got an opportunity to live the dream, basically.
Yeah, what an opportunity it is too. It's regardless of you know, the hype and everything else that goes on around these racing carnivals, it's still the premier racing carnival, yeah. You know, in Australia. And certainly, obviously, pre-COVID times, this carnival was on the world stage. You know, we had a lot of international horses and jockeys and trainers competing. So a massive opportunity for Maddie. I hope it all goes really well. Probably touch and go whether it would get a start in a race like the Cantala. Obviously, the rating will be interesting there to see where it fits in. You'd imagine it's going to be a very strong race. So, but, you know, she mentioned a race, you know, like the Ballarat Cup and things like that. Like, still big prize money, big opportunities, you know, whichever way they go with it. So we saw its last start here before it's gone down there. Like, it's ran credible behind Apache Chase and Emerald Kingdom. Like, both of those horses are going to be competitive in Sydney this week and in the next coming week. So, you know, this Queensland form has proven to be holding up down south. And while Flashar was sort of probably unsuited a little bit behind those two, the way the race was run last start, you know, with the right conditions and the right race shape, it will certainly acquit itself well down there, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So we wish Maddie the best. And it's in one respect, it's a tough time to be heading down when you're just coming out of lockdown in a city that has over 2,000 positives to COVID a day, coming from a state where if we have one or two, it's quite dramatic. So that'll take some getting used to. And she also said, as we heard there in that chat too, the fact that she's back out cleaning the stables out as well, something she hasn't done for quite some time. So she's back to basics, so to speak. But the payoff's huge, isn't it?
Oh, look, the risk reward's there, isn't it? Like, I know that, you know, she's a regular rider on our Saturday meetings, and, you know, she's obviously, she would have foregone a few opportunities to ride a few winners over the next couple of weeks. But, you know, certainly a young rider that's trying to make her way in an extremely tough industry. It's a great opportunity. So I'm sure getting on the shovel and doing the boxes is a small thing to overcome for the opportunity that's presented there, for sure.
It certainly is. Now, we need to take a break. Yesterday on the Punter's Mate, as I mentioned earlier with Kent, you were extremely bullish about your selections for tonight's 7-race meeting at Clifford Park. Is that confidence carried over from Friday to Saturday?
Yeah, look, it's I don't mind the way the card's set up this week with the rail out. Smaller fields, and it's just most of these races where the good horses look to get the best run. So I don't know whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm extremely confident for a big night.
We'll only know about 9 o'clock on Saturday night, won't we? Anyway, get your pens and pencils ready, because Shane will have his tips for Clifford Park tonight, a 7-race program. And it's all thanks, this is the Darling Download, it's all thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stallion facility. A break and back with more.
You're listening to The Darling Download on SEN Track.
Saturday morning, The Darling Download. Now is the time that we've all been waiting for. Shane's tips for this afternoon and tonight's meeting at Clifford Park. And as I mentioned earlier in the program with the chairman, you were extremely bullish yesterday morning on the Punter's Mate with myself and Chris Nelson, Shane. What gives you so much confidence? I don't know that I've ever heard you as confident heading into a meeting.
Oh, look, I just think that I just think that the best in nearly every race on the card tonight, the best horse has drawn well to get the best run in the race. And I think that's pretty important. And when they all line up like that, it just gives you a bit of confidence. So it doesn't all, as we know, it doesn't always play out.
It doesn't.
How you anticipate. But look, with the rail in the position that it is tonight, not the rails out 3 metres from the 800 to the 600 and then 5 metres the remainder, it just means that they have to run smaller fields. So it's sort of smaller fields. It should be easy to map and get the map of the race right and hopefully get the result as well.
Hopefully. Well, anyway, you are bullish, so let's get started. We start at 4:45 this afternoon, so an earlier start, 4:46 in fact. It's the first is a benchmark 70 over 1,050 metres.
Yeah, it's interesting little race to start the day. I thought number three, Aloof, will probably find the front here. I think it can lead from gate three. The big question will be what happens with number six, Simply So, from the inside barrier, whether it can hold a spot. It was a pretty good win last time over 870. It was a pretty good effort because it was back in trip from the 1200 back to the 870. And look, it did finish off strong. And I thought that was probably as good a run as it's put in. And I think with the barrier, stays in the same class. I think it's going to get a nice run. There's a couple of horses that go pretty nice in this. Octavian goes okay, but it's sort of resuming with the big weight and the wide gate. Rhyme Time's another horse that goes okay, but will probably find the 1,000 a bit sharp. So I'm going to go with number six, Simply So. Sort of hold its spot from gate one and sit just behind the pace. I think it'll be the hardest to hold out. Got it on top ahead of number three, Aloof, and number eight, Norse Mythology, who did run well on Wheatwood Day. Just not sure where it sort of ends up from the draw there from gate four. Like, it's got enough speed to put itself there, but it doesn't have like early speed. It takes a little bit of time to sort of get, you know, wind up from the start. So that's why I just thought that number six, Simply slow, gets the right run and it's on top for me.
So race one, number six, Simply So. Got to say that slowly as well. Race number two is at 5:27. It's a class one over 1,210 metres.
Yeah, well, the scratching of number four here, Frankie Blue Eyes, who had drawn the outside gate, really opens this race up for number one, Dulcin Len. Once again, gate one, it's going to get the right run. Gets to 1,200 here, which I don't think is an issue. It's been running through the line strongly. So I just think it gets the right run. It's the one I want to be, and I've got it on top. Josh Oliver takes the ride. Now, we spoke to Josh Oliver maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago on the show. He was speaking about his comeback and, you know, he returned a winner on Tuesday, which was good. And this horse is going to get a very similar run in transit to that horse that he rode that won on Tuesday. So it'll be just tucked in behind the speed, getting out on the corner and putting them away. I think it's it should be winning race two, number one, Dulcin Len.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's one of my two for this afternoon, race two, number one. So we both agree, Dulcin Len in the second at Clifford Park this afternoon. Now, the third is at 6:05 local time. It's a benchmark 60. It's over 1,300 metres. And I know this is one of your two best for today.
Yeah, I think this is pretty straightforward. I think number five, Boom Eyes Buddy, probably finds the fence first and Dragon pins with Ange Jones and just with the 54 kilos. I think he just works across and sits outside the leader. The thing about Ange, you know, she rides so well. She's a really good judge of early pace. Noticed a couple of instances there on Tuesday. She won a race on Moto Miss, which is a noted back marker, but they sort of slackened up in front and she was able to dig up along the fence and settle closer. And then that was over 1,200. Then she rode in the mile race on Perfect Page and the tempo was the opposite. They were going quick and she just sort of took her time and was only really wanting that horse to work into the race, you know, come into the corner and then let it do its best work late. She's such a good judge of that early tempo. And I know that she's drawn wide here, but it's only a field of nine. So she can sort of decide whether she wants to go forward and park outside the leader, which I think it can. And if she does, it wins. But yeah, I'm pretty confident that she'll put this horse in the right spot either way. I think it's the best horse in the race. And I think it'll just be winning race three, number four, Dragon Pins.
The barrier, no knock? Barrier, isn't it?
Oh, look, they'll start nine. And like I said, there is sort of Boom Eyes Buddy probably leads. And then it's really sort of wide open from there. Like, you know, what sort of gets to the spot outside the leader. I think if she goes forward on Dragon Pin, she'll get outside the leader comfortably enough.
So race three, number four, Dragon Pins. One of your best, as you mentioned yesterday, on the punters, mm-hmm. mate. The fourth at 640 is a benchmark 55 over 870 metres. Another one of your best.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep it pretty simple here. Race four, number one, Good Grab, is the fastest horse out of the machines. It'll lead. Small field of eight. Just finds the front and it's too fast. It's got a bit of put in to carry with 61.5 after the claim for Nathan Fazakerley. But, this horse just thrives at the 870. It's certainly got the fastest time of any of its rivals here over this track and trip. Just looks all perfectly suited for it. Horse ran really, really well last time, getting run down late by Simply So. That was in a benchmark 70. It drops back to a benchmark 55 here, and I don't think weight's an issue over these sorts of distances. So it's my best on the card. I think this simply just leads and wins. I'll bet accordingly. I think race four, number one, could grab the best of the night for me.
Race four, number one, the best of the night for Shane. Now we head to the fifth at 7:15, which is a maiden over 1,050.
Gee, I hope you've got a winner in this race or a tip or something to give me a leg up, or you've spoken to a trainer or a jockey here, because this is a very difficult race. Really not sure here. There's plenty of chances. I sort of ended up here on number nine, Miss Jedi. I thought that run at Gatton, which was off a 75-day break or something, the other day wasn't too bad. Obviously gets here fitter, draws a good gate, looks to get a good map, although it is difficult to sort of map a few of these with, a couple of first starters there and that sort of thing. And I just thought of the race ones, it's sort of going to get the right run in transit, gets a good map. And I think, if you look at some of its runs, last prep it wasn't far away, at the Gold Coast behind horses like Noble War and Shamrock Lou, and a repeat of that performance without, any of these first starters being anything out of the box. It looks the one. Race five, number nine, at Miss Jedi on top.
Okay, race five, number nine. I'm going to tip here number seven, Rafale, Georgie Cartwright on board. I know that hasn't won yet and not a great barrier, but has been racing in a bit stronger company, and I know there's not much to ride home about. And a couple of barrier trials against, Mr. Larrabee, we've spoken about before and so on. But I'm going to...
Absolutely.
Race five, number seven, Rafale with Georgie Cartwright on board. But very, very tough when you're talking maidens, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough race.
It is. That is the fifth. Now we head to race number six on the card, on a seven race card. So the second last race of the night. It is a class three over 1,650 metres.
Yeah, scratching of three ultimate power here, leaving just the seven runners. Difficult race. I'm pretty impressed with the win of Trackman last start at the Sunshine Coast. Horse that was having its second start for Trevor Lambourne. It's sort of come from nowhere. It's formerly trained up north in North Queensland. Didn't really do a lot there. And then just the one run here, and there's a little bit of specking for it at the Sunny Coast last start when it was a pretty strong winner. Got through the line pretty strongly, so it sort of suggests to me that the step up to the 1650 here won't be a problem. It did put up some okay figures. I think it was four runs back now, back at Mackay over 1,800. So sort of suggests to me that the mile won't be an issue. As opposed to a few others in this race, which I think are a query at the trip. So I'm going to put two track men on top. I think the hardest to beat here is number five, High IQ. I'm just not sure about it at the mile. Now, it did have, I think it was its second start, third start for the new stable. Sorry, when it won a non-tab at Stanthorpe. That was over the 1,400. Has had one go at the mile in recent times where it was beaten six lengths at Rockhampton in a benchmark 55. This is Trackman, off its last start win, looks a little bit stronger horse than this one at this sort of trip. So I'll go two on top ahead of five, and just to see how the prices are come jump time before sort of making any strong commitments betting wise there. But I think the two might be just a stronger horse at the mile.
Race six, number two, the final event. 25 past eight is a benchmark 58 over 1,880 metres.
Yeah, another eight-horse field here. And I think this race, once again, is sort of going to be a little bit dictated to by the tempo. There seems to be like enough speed here. I think horse like Ultimate Power looks to go forward. And you've got a horse like Tycoon Player who set up a big, big lead at Beau Desert over 2,450 last time. Just kept them running and was too strong. Just with that in mind, and I think they'll go forward again and they'll run along here. I think it sets up well for number one, Bracken. It was a good win at Toowoomba 2 back. Just got over the top of Ultimate Power when Ultimate Power sort of had its chance there. I just don't think Ultimate Power gets as good a setup in this race. I think it's going to have to do a little bit of work chasing Tycoon Player. And once again, Bracken will just be... will be just sort of tucked in behind them, just going along easy. Bracken went to Ipswich last time, was just a little bit outclassed behind Hostage of War. I don't think the distance sort of holds any fears at one over 1850 here too back. And like I said, it gets in here with 56 kilos after the claim for Ange Jones. And, I think it's just very well placed. I think it'll be winning again at race seven, number one, Bracken.
Race seven, number one, the best of the night. Race four, number one, Good Grab. And you're also keen on race three, number four, Dragon Pin. So that's a look at Toowoomba. Now, I need, before we go, to get your thoughts on the Cox Plate. There's a number of permutations. We would have thought a couple of weeks ago that Zaki was unbeatable and Very Elegant was in form, and how things have changed in a couple of weeks.
Hasn't it, Watt? Look, I'm going to go with the three-year-olds. I've got a few knocks on the ones in the market. Zaki's definitely not going as good. Very Elegant. Not sure about her demeanor last start. She just wasn't interested, was she? She might have just got beat by a really good horse too and incentivized it. She just didn't settle and just didn't do a lot right. I thought Animo's the horse to beat. And probably one, there's a couple at odds actually. If the others aren't at their top, I think Dallasand's massive overs in the race. You go back to its last preparation when it raced in Sydney. It's only just beaten by Very Elegant. It's going to be on speed. It doesn't look to be like a mad tempo. And I think its runs this preparation have been all sort of geared towards this, and it just looks ready to run a big race. I think it's massive overs. I think it's like $61 or something. And I'll be having a couple of peanuts on it as well. But I think Animo is the winner.
Righto, mate. Should be a great race. Terrific race at Moonee Valley this afternoon. Seven race program tonight at Toowoomba as well. Good punting, mate. Good luck. I know you're full of confidence. So let's hope when we chat next weekend, you're able to brag and able to give a little bit of a hats off to Kent Woodford after you've had a big night tonight. So good luck.
Thanks, mate. I'm certainly planning on doing that. So good, let's hope you. It goes our way.
Yeah, let's hope so. Have yourselves a great week, mate. We'll chat next Saturday morning on the Darling Downline. That's all we have time for. It's all thanks to Aquis, Queensland's largest stallion facility, standing 16 well-credentialed stallions. Visit aquisfarm.com. Thanks very much for your company on this Saturday morning. Enjoy the Cox Plate this afternoon before another big night at Clifford Park. We'll catch you next Saturday morning on the Darling Downline.